a really critically important section of this first letter of Paul. From the beginning of the letter, as you recall, he's been insisting on his authority, not because it's his, but because it comes from the risen Christ, a revelation of God. And he's been talking about the gospel that he's preached to them and how essential it is, and how they are being deceived by people going around Galatia, as they're coming to Antioch as well, by a false gospel. And he insists that he didn't get his gospel from Jerusalem, where these people are coming from and claiming authority from. And in fact, they don't have authority from Jerusalem, but they're claiming it. And then they've obviously heard about a debate that went on in Antioch, which Paul was on his own, really, and Peter disagreed with him, and Barnabas and the rest. So they've heard about that, and they're using that as a trump card. And Paul's saying, yes, we did have this disagreement, but I fronted Peter on it, and for these reasons, and he was wrong. And he's talked, for example, just a few quotes from the verses you've already done. He says, he received his gospel through a revelation of Jesus Christ. He says how God was pleased to reveal his Son to me. And he talks about the truth of the gospel. The gospel we proclaim to you. The gospel I proclaim among the Gentiles. They're phrases that he's used. But he hasn't yet told us what the gospel is. He's about to do it in this session. He now, for the first time, and very powerfully, presents the essence of his gospel. So it's a wonderful passage, and let's take a look at it. He's actually having a discussion with Peter, and the we at the beginning of this sentence, if you're following the logic of the grammar, is really Peter and Paul, and that's true. But the we gradually spreads out to include all Jewish Christians, including the people who are in Galatia, spreading this heterodox teaching. So we ourselves, he says, are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. You have to put that in inverted commas, because that's what the Jews call the Gentiles. Gentile sinners, not holy people called by God and chosen. So, okay, we're Jews, yes, and not Gentile sinners. Yet, we know that a person is justified, and I'll have to enlarge on that, justified not by works of the law, but through the faith of Jesus Christ. And we'll pause there now. A few things to explain there. For many, many, many years, in fact, right up till about 20 years ago, it was often said by scholars, it's now been abandoned, this position, that the Jews, not the Jewish Christians, but that the Jews held that you were justified through the law and not through faith. That has been shown to be a wrong position with further knowledge of Judaism at the time of Jesus. So I'm confident in telling you that what Paul says here, leaving Jesus Christ out for a moment, what Paul says about not being justified by the law but by faith was the common opinion of Jews as well as Christians. So, yes, I'm about to do that. No, you're right. So this sentence, in other words, has to be assumed to be a common position from which Paul is going to argue. So this isn't a debating point. We know this. Paul knows it. The Jewish Christians know it who are in Antioch, and they're not going to disagree with it, but he's going to build on this to form his argument. We know that a person is justified not by works of the law, but through the faith of Jesus Christ. Okay, justified. We better look at what that means. The Greek noun is dike. And dike in the Greek mythology is divine order. The order of the world, the order of creation, which is divinely controlled by the gods in Olympus, etc. So, a person to be justified means to be, we use it, for example, when we're printing something, you can press the justified button and that will make the right-hand column, it will adjust the line so that it's perfectly even on the left and right. So to justified means to adjust, to put right, to set in order, to something that's not in order is put in order. Something that needs adjusting is adjusted. It's placed in the right relationship with the divine will and the divine order. I have to make another point there, though, because the verb to justify in the Greek world had another meaning as well. And we're entering now an area which was debated a lot at the time of the Reformation. Between justification, big issue among Lutherans particularly, and the Lutheran Catholic debate went on. I'm about to get rid of the debate because it no longer exists except in the minds of people who don't study and haven't read anything. So the debate's finished. The Lutheran theologians and the Catholic theologians are in agreement on this. Because both Luther and the Catholics who were opposing Luther were using terms and missing each other. They were using their terms in different settings. There is a sense in which justified is used in the law court, where a magistrate declares just. Now, notice carefully what I said a moment ago. The word means to make just. It can also mean to declare just without making just. Imagine a law court. You're accused of something. And you come up and the evidence is put there and the magistrate says you're innocent. Now, when he says you're innocent, what's he really saying is that your guilt has not been proved, doesn't he? You're innocent until you're proved guilty. In fact, you may well be guilty, but you're declared innocent. And they use the word to justify for that. And so, in the classical Lutheran understanding, you might recall some of Luther, who was very aware of his own sinfulness, and there's a lovely humility in that too. God declares us just because of what Jesus did, but we're not really just. God says, okay, I won't hold it against you. You remain sinful, radically sinful, but God overlooks your sin because of the blood of Jesus. He looks at you through the blood of Jesus and so forgives, overlooks, declares just. The Catholic position was that that's not what happens. They declare just. So try to hold that argument then. It doesn't hold water with God because God doesn't declare just. God knows what is. God declares the truth. The Catholic position has always been that God actually changes through grace the human being and the person becomes just. They're not just looked at as just or their sin overlooked. The sin is actually healed. The person is restored to innocence. That's what forgiveness means. It's not a legal thing. It's an ontological reality of grace poured into the soul which actually transforms the soul. Now, today everyone sees that that's right, and I don't think there's any serious theological debate about it. So to come back to my point, a person is justified means a person is placed in the right relationship with God. A person is healed. A person is in the right order. A person is what that person was always meant to be by love. Now, what brings you to that position? Now, this is a position that the Galatians had come to and wanted to be part of. What brings you to that? Now we come to the agreement. It isn't the law that does that. Now that's actually obvious. A law is like a signpost. Well, you've run out of petrol and you're 50 kilometres from where you're going and the signpost says 50 kilometres to Yarralumla. Terrific. But the signpost doesn't get you to Yarralumla. It just points the way. Or you're hurtling in the wrong direction, or you're on a horse that's galloping and completely out of control, and the signpost says, Yarralumla, back that way. What are you going to do? The signpost doesn't actually help you get there. It tells you you're going in the wrong direction. Big deal. Good. It's good to know you're going in the wrong direction. But it doesn't get you there. A law just says what you're doing is right or what you're doing is wrong, but it's really of no ultimate assistance in getting you to do right. And we know that. Preaching from a pulpit, hurtling down upon a person saying you're wrong, telling Mary Magdalene she's a prostitute isn't going to help her, well, hardly at all. It's not without value, but it won't make her good. What makes her good is the love that Jesus gives her, which blows her mind and alters her way of looking at life and invites her to be in touch with who she is. So you're following the argument, I'm sure. So it isn't the law that makes a person just or adjusts a person, justifies a person. See, justify, facere in Latin, facere means to make just. So, okay, now we come to a very important point. But it is the faith, I have translated it different from the New Revised Standard Version, so you better watch this. The Revised Standard Version says faith in Jesus Christ. I have translated it, along with quite a few scholars, as the faith of Jesus Christ. So I have to defend that choice to you. Ready for a little Greek lesson? Okay. In the Greek, there are two verbs, and the second one is in the genitive case. That is an absolutely literal translation of the Greek. The faith of Jesus Christ. That's exactly what the Greek says. Now, when you use the genitive case in Greek or in Latin, all it says is the two nouns, I'll call them to make it simple, are placed in relationship. It does not tell you what the relationship is. It says, the faith I'm talking about is faith which is in relation to Jesus Christ. That's the faith we're talking about. So if you translate it without knowing anything more, faith in Jesus Christ, that could well be what it means. If you translate it faith of Jesus Christ, it could well be what it means. It just means faith in the context of Jesus Christ, whether it's Jesus Christ's faith, or whether it's our faith in him, or whether it's the faith he has that he gives us and we share in, all of that is possible. None of this is in doubt, by the way. I'm certain of what I'm telling you now, and everyone would agree with it. So it's just a general relationship, because Greek has a lot of prepositions, as does English and every other language. And if you wanted to make it more precise, you could easily say faith from Jesus Christ, faith towards Jesus Christ, faith in Jesus Christ, faith that belongs to Jesus Christ. You can say all those things in Greek, of course. It's a very subtle language that allows for all the possibilities. But Paul doesn't use any prepositions here. He simply says faith, Jesus Christ. It's my opinion, and now I move into an opinion, and I know Paul knows Greek very well, and he will in other contexts talk about the faith towards or in Jesus Christ. He doesn't here. So I think we have no right to limit this. We have to look at it broadly as an all-inclusive possibility. And if you allow that, which I think you must, the first meaning of it is the genitive, faith of Jesus Christ. I'll say that to you. And then now I'm going to move in to talk about faith. What is faith? And what we mean by the faith of Jesus Christ. And then we'll come back to our text. Are you with me okay at the moment?
Yes.
So let's do that.